Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
12, 11.
What are we running here? A cadet ship number one? Are we ready or not?
10, 9. Ignition sequence start.
Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Ready to move up.
6, 5.
All decks are ready, sir.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Engage.
All engine running. Liftoff! We have a liftoff!
Coming down the road, that we're coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the English Defence League radio show, The Year for Patriots. Welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, Jeff Spider-Mitchell, and my wingman for this evening is Dave Agadore-Milner. Tonight we begin our new year with current headlines and discussion of the year just passed. We clear out the rubbish from 2019 and take a running start at 2020, the year of the Patriots. A start to work ahead in this, the year for Patriots. Neither the death cult of Islam, nor its allies, nor spineless onlookers will turn us from our job to tell the truth, no matter where it leads. No surrender ever. All that's necessary for evil to prevail is that good men do nothing. And that was by the late great Edmund Burke. Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. And of course that was by the late great President John F. Kennedy. And as I say, Starship EDL has hit the stars, man. We've taken off. You heard that? We're flying. Flying high. With that, the Starship EDL day. Now, that's a bit different, isn't it? That's you, mate.
Good evening, Jeff, and a
Good evening to everybody in the UK. Hello to everybody in the States and around the world. And yes, of course, off Earth. Yes, it's been the EDL radio airplane, and now it's the EDL radio starship. But
starship,
we wanted to...
doesn't that sound cool, Dave?
Yeah, it does. Starship EDL, that's right. And, want to thank Captain Pike for giving us a good send-off there. Yeah. Jeff, I hope you had good holidays.
Christopher.
That's right, yeah. Now, Jeff, I hope you had a good holiday. I know I did, and we're back and ready to do some business, yeah? Yeah.
It was nice to recharge the our EDL batteries, wasn't it, Dave? You know, and to just sit back, chill out a little bit, take on board the festivities that was going on around us, which most people do. That's the time of the year I really like. It's the you hope that the world would be at peace, but unfortunately there's always some issues across the world, isn't there? Well, I don't think we've ever lived in a time that we've seen total peace across the world, have we, Dave? But we live in hope, and we hope that that time of the year, which is so special, is a hope for mankind and all mankind, peace and love to everybody. Just certain times of the year, isn't it, Dave? But, it's great. Dave, I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. Because Dave likes to catch up with different videos and things and like that, didn't you, Dave? And doing your own thing, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, Jeff. I mean, it is kind of nice to take a break from the idiocy that goes on out there. I always miss the good friends that we have, our colleagues and whatnot, and of course, always miss the people that listen to our shows. And our friends on social media and things of that nature, but the idiocy just reaches a point of critical mass, and that's why we take the time off that we do, just so that we don't get so frustrated that one day we don't come back. So, but you know what? It is first of the year. A lot of things have happened while we were away. But we left on the 19th of December, and we're going to be covering some of that. And the first thing I want to get into, Jeff. Is this issue? We know we have some listeners in Australia, and we send our thoughts, our prayers out to you guys. These brush fires, I don't know, Jeff. I've seen a composite satellite image of what they look like, and it's just inferno. I mean, it looks like the place has been bombed. It looks like. A war zone there. And it thereby hangs a lot of issues. And we're not talking about just the deaths of people and animals and the destruction of property, which has been massive there. All right. Some of the bigger fires have been set in the southeastern and parts of Australia and, in the far eastern part of Australia. Right around, I noticed one area there, Jeff, was right around Brisbane, and some of the others in some rather heavily populated areas of Southeast Australia, and all of the Hillary Clinton, a few of the other politicians over here, and the quote unquote stars. At the Golden Globes, which we will be covering that a little bit later with a little amusing something
Ricky
for you.
he's my hero now. I know he's a lefty, but I love what he did, Dave.
We'll be playing that. We will be playing that. But all of them were saying, oh, yeah, this is global warming. Yeah, we warned you. We warned you it was global warming. Well, guess what, guys? It turns out it wasn't global warming. It was arson. Okay.
Yeah.
This is coming from multiple news sources now because they're getting this from Australia, from Australian news agencies, who are getting it from Australian law enforcement. They have so far arrested close to 200 different people for various fire offenses. And somewhere around 87 or so of them have been arrested for direct arson. In other words, for directly setting the fires themselves on purpose. Well, you know, we're not talking guys here about people who are just, you know, like that, you know, maybe have a campfire going or throw a cigarette out the window or something like that, which they are taking them in for that because this is very serious. That entire area is a tinderbox. But we're talking about people who deliberately set the fires down there. And there's another issue, Jeff, I want to get into. We'll get back to the people who deliberately set the fires. Part of the problem down there and part of what has fed these terrible brush fires has been the fact that the enviro nuts down there set these regulations to where people can't clear away the undergrowth that is in the woods down there. And I know about this danger of this partly because of the forest fires that happened in California a few months back. They have the same of regulation. They have the same kind of regulations there. You cannot clear away the undergrowth. And we're talking about guys, things like pine needles on the forest floor, you know, bushes, deadfall, and things like that. But they say, oh no, leave that there. That it wouldn't be environmentally friendly to clear that out. Well, that's just tinder for these fires. It just feeds them. And another thing that they won't let them do in Australia is they won't let them create fire breaks. Because sometimes in order to create a fire break, you have to cut down trees to do that. And the thing is that...
Well, farmers have always done this for centuries, burn off, some of the things they've been growing. They have a big burn-up, don't they? They do it every day. You know, so where I live, the farmers do a burn-up.
Sure.
You know, some of the fields, they just burn it, you know, and be done with. So it's not as though, where different regulations come in. It's just a natural process of what farmers have been doing for centuries. But nowadays, we come across the global idiots, or whatever you want to call them, are now creating problems where fires are being created and they get out of control so quick because it's been so dry in Australia, isn't it, though? You know, it's like in California, you know, it gets...
Oh, yeah, it's the same kind of conditions, Jeff. Yeah, it's the same kind of conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, you know, what you're talking about with the farmers in the UK is called a controlled burn. They burn
That's
off an
I mean.
Area so that the fires won't have anything to feed on, so they won't get close to the farms. The same thing happens with, you know, people who have common sense, who live around wooded areas all over the world. You have to have a clear area where the fires can't get to the homes and the factories and just whatever. It reminds me, Jeff, of an historical event. The Chicago fire of 1871. Remember the stories about Mrs. O'Leary's cow and all that. Now, in 1871, when the city of Chicago was on fire, Jeff, they actually created fire breaks by dynamiting buildings. They wiped out buildings that the rest of the city would burn. Yeah, yeah, they did.
That's how to do business, isn't it, Dave?
It is if you want to save a city. And that was the only alternative they had back then. But it worked. And fire, that's the thing. Fire breaks work. Clearing out the undergrowth works. All these things work. And yet these enviro idiots, again, here in the States and down there in Australia, won't let them do it. And this has just made the situation worse. And now, I'm not seeing anything official yet. I have looked, but I think it's going to come pretty soon, Jeff. The word is that most or a significant number of these fires down in Australia that have been set with arson have been set by people in the green movement. These enviro people that want everybody to think it's all global warming.
Not just those type of people, but I don't know if you know, Dave, and you probably do, but it's all part of the cultures of death. It's to create fires, this, that, and the other, like they've done. It's a part of their strategy, this is another part of their jihad. So I'm just speculating. Let's have a look at some of the people that they catch for it, who they are. I think about 200 have been caught, haven't they? So let's see what it turns out to be like, Dave. I have a funny feeling that you might find a few jihadis amongst that lot, Dave. To be honest with you, yeah.
Well, Jeff, like I said, I believe that the confirmed arrests for arson are around 87, which is, when you talk about a country the size of Australia, these are 87 people all around the country there. That's a significant number. And yeah, I think you could be right. There have been allegations of that sort of thing here in the States, again, in states like California, Utah, other states like that. I think we're going to see that in the near future. Their government isn't going to be able to cover this up because this is getting out slowly, but I think surely. And it's Jeff. What I thought about when I ruminated over this was the fact that these people seem to be the same types as the Mohammedans in the UK that will deface their own mosques over there. And try to blame it on the EDL or the people over here in the States that will create these fake hate crimes. It's all fakery created by these people that don't give a damn about human life, animal life, property, anything, as long as they can get their lefty points across. And that's what. Yeah, but I'd like to say this to the listeners out there, that might happen to be on the left. Guys, these people are on your side, and they don't give a rat's furry ass about you, okay? You need to understand that this worldview is wrong. If people have to do this sort of thing to try and swing people over to their side, there's something wrong.
And of course it doesn't persuade anybody to look at things differently. When they're creating these horrific fires, I mean, it does the total opposite. You know that there's something wrong when they're trying to create that issue with fires and then blame it onto climate issues. So all they're doing, those type of people, are defeating the object. And I hope if they found out that they will be named and shamed for it. I hope there'll be plenty of stories. I know there'll be a lot of people. We've got a lot of people out there that have got their noses close to the ground with these type of people. So we are listening and we are watching very closely, aren't we, Doug? Also, just got to give a mention how disgusted the firemen were when the Prime Minister decided to come and to look at exactly what had been going on. He'd been out over in Hawaii while the fires had been raging. And one of the things I saw is he walked up to a fireman who was sitting there, was totally knackered. Imagine it, he's been trying to put out these fires. He walked up to shake his hand, he's, go away, jog on, like, you know what I mean? And that was the response he had. Yes, they're pouring money in now, doing what they should do. But it's very, very... Well, what would you think, Dave? He's sitting there and there's this dickhead who calls himself a prime minister, has been swanning around in Hawaii, catching the sun while people have been dying, animals have been killed left, right and centre, and he still had to get his son. A bit like David Cameron when we had the riots going on in this country. Remember, Dave? Remember? That's exactly the same thing. You know,
yes.
Got no time for those people, you know what I mean? Yeah, we have an holiday, but when you've got a crisis, you just say, suck your holiday. I've got to be there with the people, not him. He needs to get his extra of that, a few more hours in the sun. And no wonder that response was like that. And good luck to them firemen. My thoughts and prayers go to them lads. There's been a few firemen who've died fighting those fires. And God bless them and their families. This is horrific, Dave. It is. Myself and Dave, our thoughts and prayers go out to all of you that's been involved. It's I can't even think of how devastating it is to know, you look around to see what's happened to the country. You know, a beautiful country like Australia has been devastated in that way. And then you hear arsonists, and it breaks your heart, doesn't it, Dave? I think there's people out there with trying to make things, the things that's bad, make them twice as worse. I mean, that just gets me, Dave. That just, I just can't get over that. It put me so myself.
Well, yeah, Jeff, I mean, now, there's good reason why, in my opinion, a state leader should not insinuate themselves right into the middle of a rescue effort. And the reason I say that is because I think back on when Hurricane Katrina hit, the New Orleans area, and everybody bagged on President Bush, and everybody bagged on President Bush for not running down there immediately. And I felt then, and, I still feel that he did the right thing, because you don't want a state leader and their entourage and all that stuff around there and all the security and whatnot when the disaster is still going on and people are they're trying to rescue people and they just get in the way. But that doesn't mean that the Australian PM could not have flown back to Canberra, you know? I mean, if nothing else, just show that bit of solidarity. I mean, if the fires had gotten near him, I'm sure they would have gotten him out. That wouldn't have been an issue. Just do that much. You know, he didn't have to go on site and get in the fireman's way. You know, just fly back to Canberra.
Photoshop,
you know?
Dave. Disgusting. Photoshop. That, you know what it's like. The left-wing media following him around. Oh, got to do my Photoshop. Yeah. And the guys refused to shake his hands. God bless those firemen, eh? I would have refused to shake his hand. He's like, he got away with just someone not shaking his hand and not someone not sticking one on him. There you go. To be honest, though.
Well, certainly, yeah. You know, there's a right way and a wrong way to handle these situations. And, and again, you know, all we can say here is, that, our thoughts and prayers do go to the people who have lost property, to the people who have lost lives, to their family and friends, and, of course, to the people who are still out there at this moment fighting those fires. And let's just hope that the truth comes out about these greenies and anybody else that set those fires, what their motivations were. And let's also hope that not only in Australia but in other places around the planet that may have worked up these dumb environmental policies about not having undergrowth or fire breaks, learn their lesson from this. And no, this isn't a lesson about global warming. It's a lesson about environmentalistic idiocy. Okay? Learn this lesson, guys. Save some lives. Now, Jeff, we're going to move on to the next thing.
Well, let's give a figure, Dave. For the listeners, and most listeners, you will know that the wildlife in Australia at this moment in time, it's probably gone up since, stands at least half a billion animals have been killed. I think it's half a billion, Dave.
Yeah,
think
well,
about
it,
that,
might
Jeff,
half a million. It might be.
That is serious. That is really serious. I mean, wallabies, I mean, kangaroos, koala bears. I mean, it breaks your heart, man, doesn't it? think of all the animals, all the wildlife, and that human soul as well. I think, actually, I think I heard today another death. I think it was 24. It's gone up to 25. People have lost their lives. I mean, really, truthfully, thank goodness it could have been a lot higher in the death toll of people. I'm glad to see that most people got away, but well, they only had a matter of time, and most of them got away with just what they had on their back saved. This is what stories I've been hearing. So, yeah, my thoughts have been very much with the with our dear friends, my brothers and sisters in Australia. They've had to go through and endure so much. You've got the thoughts and the prayers of us from the United Kingdom with you guys. You know that. We are brothers and cousins. You know our thoughts are with you always. Keep fighting a good fight. Hopefully, I don't know that people have said that these fires could last for months. That's scary, isn't it, Dave, to think that these fires could last for months? So how much damage can that cause in that time of months? Back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff, and of course, obviously, the thoughts and prayers of right-thinking people in the States also go.
People that's gone over from the United States to help with the fires, fight the fires safe. I'm not sure what we've had from the UK. I'm sure we've got some other lads and lasses be going out there to help. And I think the rest of the world will join in. I mean, that's it. We all pull together in times of crisis, don't we, bruv?
Yes, we do. We do indeed, Jeff. Now, to move on, yeah, we are going to clear out a little bit of what was left from 2019 here. And I think one of the best indicators, really, of the worldview of the right versus the left, and I'm really hoping that your prime minister sticks to what he said in this address, was what happened with Prime Minister Johnson's Christmas address. And I actually have had a little bit of flack already for saying that we were going to play part of this from someone on social media. They said, oh, well, this is old news. It's boring. Well, it's not boring when you think about the fact that it's a contrast between the right and the left, which really still hasn't learned its lessons from the election that took place that gave them the biggest drubbing that they've had since 1935. So, Jeff, I think this is still relevant to play. It's only 3 minutes and 46 seconds long. You ready for this?
Yeah, go for it, Doc.
All right. Guys, this is from Breitbart. And here you go. You're listening to the English Defense League radio show.
Boris's Christmas message pays tribute to military. Corbyn ruminates on election loss, inequality. By Victoria Friedman on December 24, 2019. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has delivered a Christmas message conveying hope for the year ahead and asked Britons to remember persecuted Christians worldwide who will have to celebrate in secret, saying that is something I want to change. With a piano playing the Christian carol, O Come, All Ye Faithful. In the background, Prime Minister Johnson said in a recorded message shared on social media, it's that special time of year when, whatever has gone before, we take an opportunity to celebrate all that is good in the world and spend time with our friends and family. Christmas Day is, first and foremost, a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. It is a day of inestimable importance to billions of Christians the world over. Speaking of Christians who face persecution, he said, today of all days I want us to remember those Christians around the world who are facing persecution. For them, Christmas Day will be marked in private, in secret, perhaps even in a prison cell. As Prime Minister, that is something that I want to change. We stand with Christians everywhere, in solitary, and will defend your right to practice your faith. The Prime Minister thanked the NHS staff, police, and public servants working tirelessly this Christmas, and gave a special mention to the community of military personnel. Mr. Johnson, who earlier this week traveled to Estonia to serve Christmas dinner to soldiers stationed at the top of a military base, said, "I also want to express my personal gratitude to the wonderful members of our armed forces currently on deployment and therefore to their friends, family, and children back home who have an empty chair at the table when they tuck into their Christmas dinner." He concluded, "So as a country, let us reflect on the year and celebrate the good that is to come. Folks, I hope you enjoy the next few days. Try not to have too many arguments with the in-laws or anyone else, and whoever you are, wherever you are, and however you're celebrating, have a very happy Christmas, and I'll see you all again in the new year." Corbyn ruminates on election loss, injustice and inequality at Christmas. By contrast, outgoing Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn struck a far more downbeat note. While the socialist name dropped Jesus Christ hurriedly on his message, within the first 20 seconds of his 2.5-minute video, he reflected on his disappointment at having driven his party to its worst election defeat since 1935. "This has been a difficult year for many of us. We didn't succeed in delivering the change that so many people so desperately need. But Christmas is a chance to listen, reflect, and remember all the things that bind us together. Our compassion, our determination to tackle injustice, and our hope for a better world." Whereas Johnson sought to encourage Britons to feel good and look forward to a positive new year, Corbyn drew attention to the scale of injustice and inequality, which he said is in very plain sight at Christmas. While Corbyn praised those who worked in food banks and emergency shelters helping vulnerable people at this time of year, he painted a picture of materialist Britons rushing home often loaded with shopping bags, seeing those who have no homes with no hope beside them, and continued that adverts with mouth-watering Christmas meals should remind us that we know that many children are hungry. Boris Johnson won the biggest Conservative majority since Margaret Thatcher was returned to power in 1987, in part after the Prime Minister had broken through the Red Wall, the northern working-class heartlands which the metropolitan elite and Labour had neglected.
And there you go. Welcome back.
Well, there you go. I mean, the contrast between, a conservative prime minister. What Boris said there about Christianity and the way that he was speaking was, I think that would have touched everybody's heart and soul with what he said. Corbyn, well, my goodness me. You can taste the defeat in him, can't you? You can smell the defeat with Corbyn. He's done the worst he possibly could do for a Labour Party since 1935. How will you ever live that down? He'll never live it down, but he still wants to be, the shadow whatever, shadow leader, where they call it, and he don't want to give it up until the next election. I think he should just be kicked out. I mean, why don't you just kick him out? I don't need him. Look, he's done. He's done. But then again, I mean, we know how anti-Semitic the Labour Party is, and it proves it with him being involved in it. So, it had to come down. It was brought down really hard. It was, in fact, it was pummeled into the ground, wasn't it, Dave? I mean, I knew it was a foregone conclusion before the end of the recent. the things have been closed. The voting booths have been closed, Dave. I knew it was going to be devastating. I just knew it was for them. And did it make us happy, Dave? Did it? Oh, my goodness me. We was over the moon because it had to come about. That was the rest of the 17.4 million people saying, enough, get in there, get that Brexit done, Bobo. And that's what happened, Dave. That was it. People come to the voting booths. It was, in fact, it was a big turnout at the time as well. It was bigger than they'd seen for years, right? So it goes to show you how much Brexit means to the people and what it has always meant to the great people of this country. And common sense in the end did prevail, didn't it, Dave? That's what happened. It's common sense. We all say common sense in the end's got to prevail. Otherwise, madness reigns. Back to you, Dave.
No, thanks, Jeff. Yeah, well, I mean, a thing I'd like to ask of Jeremy Corbyn, if I could, would be, yeah, you know, you talk about people rushing home with their bags and boxes and things that they bought for Christmas and whatnot, and ignoring the people on the street and everything. You know, how much of your money, your personal money, have you ever given to some of these veterans that don't have a home? All right, a lot of these lefties, Jeff, a lot of these lefty rich people, okay, have millions of pounds in the UK, millions of dollars here in the United States. And what do they give personally for these people? Of what part of their money do they give personally for that? You know what? Not much. There's been study after study that have shown that people on the right tend to give charitably more, a larger percentage of their income than people on the left. I mean, take a look at J.K. Rowling, somebody who got in trouble over the holidays, too. She has more than one mansion, not more than one house, more than one mansion, one of them with 18 spare bedrooms. She could have put up 18 veterans, okay? She could have done that. But did she? No, of course not. No. But at the same time, she wants the UK to bring in a whole bunch of quote unquote refugees, people who have no skills, no intention to assimilate to the culture of the people of the United Kingdom, and all of that. It's talking out of your one side of your mouth and not willing to step up and do the right thing.
Out of the other. People should do was if she wants all those people, then her mansion should be opened up for them. You know, it should be made compulsory that she takes in all those refugees that she said that we could be giving homes to. She's got the room and the space, and put your money where your mouth is rolling. You're rolling in it, or rolling in it. Oh, there's a pun there.
Nice.
All this is about taking in people. There you go. You take them in, you feed them, and you've got the money to do it. It's not as if you've not got much money. You're rolling in it. So, people like her, who doesn't really care about soldiers and veterans and all that, she's a lefty with lefty views. And she is who she is, but that do we expect any different, Dave, from them? What Ricky Gervais done with the Holly Weird lefties was, even though he's a lefty himself, I was amazed, Dave. I was amazed, but it was classic. And it's people like Rowley, people like you, Rowley, that he was pointing his finger to all. So, yeah. Yeah, sorry, Dave, I just had to, because we're all still laughing about it, man. It's they'll never forget that. You even see, what's his name? A couple of them were in tears over it. They were in tears over it. It was unbelievable. Ruined my night, things like that was being said. And I thought it was pure classic. I bet the numbers went up when Ricky Gervais did that. I bet it's the first time they've had their numbers a bit higher than what they normally are. See, it's normally rock bottom, isn't it, Dan? But anyway, back to you, mate. I'm letting my thing run away here, can't I?
Well, we will get to that Ricky Gervais thing in a bit. I mean, it's been widely played, but we'll play it on here just because it's so good and so funny. But we do have a little bit more to clear out from last year, of course. I think this is a good one here. Now, I'm not going to play this. I didn't put it into play, but I did. Before I get into that, I just want to say that I hope and the administration of Prime Minister Johnson should understand that the people are watching. So If he wants to make a commitment to the military in the UK and to persecuted Christians, that's a great thing. Now let's see him follow through. Good words. Now let's see him follow through. And I think that's what the people are going to be wanting him to do. So anyone happens to be listening from that quarter, listen, because that's why I said, Jeff, and why you agreed that this is the year for patriots. There's still a lot of work to do getting power, but now that power has to be turned to good use. And we are just one place, places like our podcast, places like Based Amy, places like Sunday Long Live Radio.
There's still a persecution of patriots. There's still a persecution of patriots going on in the country, and it's about time that was put a stop to. Because all people just like me, people like you, Dave, and other people, we love our country, we love the people. We just want to do what's right for our country. When we speak out about it, they want to throw us in prison over it for speaking out. That time come to an end. That time of subjection and oppression and oppression come to an end. We're fed up with it. We want to be able to speak. We're fed up with you trying to stop us speaking out on things that's so important, things that's happened in this country. Why shouldn't we speak out? It is our country. It is our country. We love our country. Why shouldn't we speak out of what's going on? And when we do, or when we object to one of the politicians and actually confront them, we're thrown into prison. I think it's wrong. They're nothing special. They're elected from the people. And people totally objected to her, and she lost her seat. People just don't like her. She's a horrible person. Subaru, you're done. But it's people like them people like us, don't want to vote for people like them, do we, Dave?
Well, no, we don't. And that's part of what I was talking about. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. That the reins of power are in the hands of conservatives, they need to prove that they are conservatives. And yes, you're right, Jeff. You're completely right. Political correctness is one of the things that has to go. But no, that doesn't mean hurting people who have a skin color that's different or whatever. No, that does not mean that. But it means exactly people what Jeff is talking about. The bringing back of free speech. And okay, if it upsets somebody, let them block their ears. Okay, they can stick their fingers in their ears and go la 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 until it's done. Okay, because all it is words, and sometimes it's truth. Like when they say that the Mohammedan prophet Muhammad was a pedophile, that's truth. Okay, that's not hate speech. That's truth. It's in the Quran.
It's factual, Dave. That's the thing about
it.
It's true. Whether it upsets them, and they call it a religious thing, and they're being upset for it, you're upsetting their religious thing. It's true and factual. That's it. It's in their books. It's in their books,
right,
Dave. So why
should
we comment on it?
And why should people be thrown in prison for it? I mean, okay, here's the solution, guys. If you're offended by something somebody else says, okay, be an adult about it, okay? Don't act like a five-year-old and have a tantrum. If you disagree with it, you've got plenty of platforms out there. You can say you disagree with it, okay? But that doesn't mean that, morally speaking, only one side of things has the right to speak and the other one has to shut up. And so, yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the UK and in the United States. Guys in the UK, don't think that, oh, well, here's this American trying to tell us how to run things. Guys, my country is all screwed up, okay? And we have a lot of work to do on my side
together,
of the
park. We're in this together, Dave. That's it. It's not about
we are.
America's trying to tell us what to do. we're in the boat, same boat together on the politics side of things. No difference,
that
mate.
We're
in it together.
That we are, Jeff. And you know, what has happened, I have to tell you guys, since I started working with Jeff, over 7 years ago now,
it's a long time now, isn't it?
When I first started, I was telling people in the States, look, guys, I'm here because I'm trying to warn you. This will come to the United States. And guess what? Now it's in our face. Okay, we've got Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar.
Trying to warn the people. Tommy Robinson come over your country and trying to warn you way back way. And look what happened to him. My computer was just about to turn off then for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, Tommy Robinson come over to the United States and tried to warn you way back, quite a few years ago. And he done it. Basically, he broke the law because he come under with, he come under someone else's passport. So, of course, he went to prison over it. But it was, he knew he had to do it, whether he went to prison over it or not. Because what was happening over here, he didn't want to see the same issues sort of flare up in the United States. So I'll always say that Tommy did it, and I'm still behind what Tommy did. It was the right thing to do. But as you say, Dave, we've been talking about it for years, haven't we? And you've been with me many years, but a lot of people got their eyes open now, Doug. It's one thing that we have done. We've opened their eyes up, haven't we? That's the thing.
That's right, Jeff. And I just have to say, even though the EDL may be reduced in numbers and the left is crowing over it, they started something. And it's turned into a worldwide movement. And as I was saying, Jeff, we do have our problems here in the United States. I mean, I warned, and so did Tommy Robinson and others over here, that the same things that you guys have going on in the UK would hit the United States. And then we've got Rashida Tlaib, we've got Ilhan Omar, both of them in our Congress, making all sorts of trouble in positions of security, which is just sends a chill up my spine. You have Justin Amash, who is the Attorney General in Michigan now, and that means that that'll guarantee that President Trump will not get Michigan in the election. In other words, you have Mohammedans placing themselves in places of power in the United States. I said this in my show, the last election, there were around 90 Mohammedans that ran for office in the United States, and they didn't all win, but that number ran in the United States. My brothers and sisters in the UK, just as Jeff says, we're in this boat together, and we join the people of France and the Scandinavian countries and Italy and again Australia, the Pacific nations, nations in Asia, all these nations where Islam is trying to encroach and grab power, and we're trying to say no to that. And yes, to a world where our children do not have to wind up being afraid. So that really is where we're coming from.
That's what it all comes down to, Dave, isn't
yeah.
it? It's not about me. It's not about you, Dave. It is about the future. It's about children. It's about our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and the future generations. My goodness me, someone's got to speak out. That's what we've been doing for many years, though. Me and you and other people who's joined with us and come along with us and do what we've been doing for all these years. Now, this is, ladies and gentlemen, this year is 11 years of when the birth of the EDL came about. So this year is the 11th anniversary of the EDL. And guess what? Okay, there might not be so many of us, but we've made such a Look what we've achieved. We've got, we even had Buddhist defense leagues right across the globe, a phenomena. And it'll always be a phenomena. Might not be so many of us. We're still here. I'm still here. Dave's still here. We're EDL. We'll always be EDL, me and Dave. I'm not going nowhere. I'm here. I'm on a mission. I'm on a crusade. And it's wind them up. I'm on a crusade, ladies and gentlemen. This is my crusade. It's my destiny. This is my destiny. It always has been my destiny. I love this organisation. I love the people that's involved in it. Everybody that I've met over the years, you couldn't meet better people. All this crap about thugs, this, that and the other, these were good people. Oh, good people. So, take it from me. I mean, guys, you listen to me. You listen to me week in, week out. I'm not a thug. You know what I mean? I'm just me. I'm a patriot, and I love my country, and I love to see my country progress or get better, and, you know, a future. Dave, was that? Yeah, back to you, Dave. No, I just, sometimes you've got to say what you've got to say, what's in your heart, I think, Dave, you've got to say what's there.
Oh, yeah, definitely, Jeff, and you know, right now it's in my heart to say to you, brother, in the struggle is, you think you might want to call back in? It's about 21 after the hour.
Oh, David, you know it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why Dave makes me laugh. He says things that he just gets me rolling up laughing. Dave, thanks for giving me an heads up in that way that you do things. God bless you, bro.
All right,
I'll give a call back, mate. Cheers,
all right,
pal.
And sure. And while you do that, Jeff, I'll just remind listeners to on the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com, where this show is being repeated right now, and then the first part of February. So these programs are, you know, about a little bit older, but hey, you know, it's a good chance to catch up if you missed them. Okay, and my regular show times, by the way, for those to pop up are 1 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States Monday through Friday, and at midnight Eastern in the United States on a Saturday, and that is 6 p.m. Monday through Friday in the UK. And 5 a.m. on a Saturday in the UK. So please check those out. And, of course, we are associated with the SHR Media Network. And we're going to be working on being associated with the Exceptional Conservative Network here pretty soon. So, guys, look for some possible changes coming soon. Again, for those of you listening on the Unpleasant Blind Guy page, we do this show live at 8:30 p.m. In the UK on Thursdays and Sundays, and that's 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States on those days. Come in here and check out our chat room and that kind of thing, and join us for the live experience. Jeff, welcome back, and I think it's time to get in to something else that I found here. From Mr. Dellingpole, who is a good columnist / commentator on Breitbart. This here, Jeff, is something that he put out on the 31st of December. And you guys, if you want to go and look for this, all right, it's at Breitbart. It'll say Dellingpole. A few things we could happily live without in 2020. Okay, and it's a little bit of a look back at 2019. And Jeff, I thought that you know, before we get to the Ricky Gervais thing, which I think, you know, we'll, you know, if it sounds good to you, we'll try and end the show with that. But before we get to that, maybe run through a few of these and you know, have a little bit of talk about each one and get your view and that kind of thing. Guys, by the way, what you just heard, that was, for those of you not familiar with the program, that is our executive producer, Charlie, who is Jeff's parrot. And with the associate producer is Blue. That's his ring-necked parakeet, and once in a while you'll hear him. So well, we have quite the staff here. Yes, and Charlie loves you guys just like we love you. Okay, Jeff.
Now, yeah.
The first thing that Delling Poll lists here that we could probably do without in 2020 happily is Greta Thunberg. Now, your views on that? Could we do with a little less Greta Thunberg this year? Okay. Well, Jeff is doing something right now, so I'm going to go ahead and answer that my own self. Yeah, I think maybe, guys, we could
How
do with a little
you?
Bit.
How dare
yeah.
you?
Okay, Jeff, go ahead. You think we could do with a little less Greta this year?
How dare you? There's not a lot you can say about that, is there?
Okay, well,
Charlie agrees.
You know. Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, you know what? Honestly, I think that we could probably do with a little less of the. I have to say this, guys. In a way, I actually feel kind of pity
is
for
it
this.
Greta
this
Thunderpants?
Poor, yeah.
Is it both? I can't think. Was it really going Greta Thunderpants?
Well, that's going to be only if she That's only going to be only if she eats too many vegetables. I think, Jeff. Yeah. But I do actually feel a little bit of pity for this girl because she's been so brainwashed by these lefties and everything, and just taken on this magical mystery tour of idiocy that has gone on with them. And you know, it is kind of a shame.
She'll get a free unicorn this year, Dave. She's been told that she'll get a free unicorn by February.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, she might believe that, Jeff, but she might also believe a whole lot of other things. And this is a picture of a child that has just been exploited. And that, you know, refer back to what I told you guys on the left and listeners in general in the first half of the show. The left will use anybody and then just throw them away when they're no longer useful. And they don't care.
Yeah, but exploiting
they,
a child. Well, she's not a child
exactly.
Now. She's 17 now. She had a birthday last week, I think, Dave. She's turned 17 now. So she's not a child no more. She's just an ex-exploited child, because that's what she was, exploited. And I think it's tragic that she's got problems. It's quite obvious that
she
she's
does.
Got
yeah,
problems.
Obviously, yeah.
And she was exploited. And that's what the sad thing about it. I feel for her. I feel for Greta.
I do too.
And I really do.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't want to hear any more of her nonsense, but I do feel for her. And you know, and again, to me, Jeff. Okay, maybe she's 17, but to me, she is still a child. She certainly is still a child when it comes to her mental process, because she's just been programmed like a robot, and it really is a shame to see any human being treated like that. As far as her virtue signaling, I think we could do with a little bit less of that, especially when this individual took advantage of trains and automobiles and things of that nature to get to her various venues. It's what I say about all of these people. That use all of these modern conveniences that take advantage of fossil fuel. You know, look, if you're going to advocate against them, then don't use those. But it really is kind of tragic what's been done with her. And yeah, I think we can do without her in 2020 and beyond. Now, the next one, Jeff, and I know you'll agree with this, is never Trumpers. Okay, how do you feel about that one? Do you think we can do with a few less of these in 2020?
Yeah, I think so. I've just looked at the chat. We've got, I think, Vulnerable Bite still here. I've just given him a wave and wishing him a happy new year. He says the show is tricky. Tricky.
Hey,
so goddamn tricky. I don't know what he means, but yeah, we know that now and again. He goes also on to say, and I think he's talking about Greta, agent provocateur, something you want to tell us, Tim. Oh, I don't know what that's about. anyway, I've continued, Dave. I just want to let you know that Vulpal Bite joined us, and I want to wish him a happy new year. There you go, mate.
Yeah, happy new year there, Vorp. Yeah, I mean, the Never Trumpers, all I can say is that, you know, I've been saying this ever since the 2016 election cycle, and I think I've followed through with it myself on the Unpleasant Blind Guy show and through this show, and that is that we have to take a balanced view of President Trump. Is he better than the Democratic alternatives? Absolutely. But we cannot worship him either. In other words, if he puts out a policy decision that we don't agree with, we have to talk about that, and we have to talk about why that doesn't work. Okay, we can't fall into the same trap that the Obama bots did. People who worshiped President Obama and thought he could do no wrong.
Well, I
disagree with
his views about vaping. I'll be honest with you, Dave. I'm a vapor, and so are you, Dave.
I will be,
so,
yeah.
You know,
I'm going back to it.
I think he's talking about flavoring for where there's kids concerned. I can see his concerns, but, I mean, we've been using vaping over here, and it's talked quite highly over here, the way that it's weaned people off of smoking into vaping. So, you know, everybody's got their own perspective and this, that, and the other about vaping, but I think it's probably 100 times more better for you than smoking. Whether they say, oh, well, there's been a few cases. Well, there's always going to be a few cases. It's not as if it's an epidemic, though, is it, Dave? It's not massive numbers, nothing like that, not where smoking was concerned. That's the only issue I have with your president with certain things that he comes out with. I'm like, yeah, but there again, there's nothing I can do about what your president says. It's he's doing things that's right for the country, your country, isn't he? That's right, mate. There you go.
Well, yeah, exactly. And what we can do, we don't have to be like these Luddites. Who are still conservatives, but they are kind of Luddites who just hate President Trump and you know, he's not what they wanted or whatever. And so, you know, they're just going to sit in a corner and suck their thumb. That doesn't do anybody any good. What is needed is a balanced view of him. And if you're someone that has a podcast or whatever, or a blog or whatever, okay, that's fine. You can praise President Trump when he does the right thing, but yes, you can take him to task when he does the wrong thing. And I think that is what separates us, because we think for ourselves, and that's what we have to do. And we have to tell President
critical
Trump why
thinking,
we support
Dave,
him.
Yes, that's what the human ability is, to be able to critical think about things, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like what me and you do, Dave. It's what most of our listeners do. It's critical thinking about things.
Yes,
isn't
yes.
It?
and yeah, well, we can tell President Trump, look, while we support you and wish you well in office, we don't think this policy or that policy is the correct way to go, and hopefully influence him to change it back. But that's, you know, I do agree that never Trumpers are you know, something that we can do without in 2020. And I also agree that always Trumpers are the same way. We can't be too much of one or the other. I don't think we are, Jeff. Now, here's one I think you'll agree with. Another thing that Dellingpole says that we could happily do without in 2020, taxes.
Well, I agree. There's always been too many taxes, but what can we do? It's something that most of us have had to live from being teenagers up to, you know, my time as a senior citizen now. So it's not as if we've ever been without taxes. We will always have taxes, Dave, won't we? I'd like to see the VAT tax finished, got rid of. I think the VAT is disgusting.
Oh, it's horrible.
We really
yeah.
need. It's just another tax to tax and tax. You know, if you
it's
buy
a tax
something,
on a tax.
You put VAT on it. 17%. It's a lot of money, mate. When you work it out, if you buy a car, they stick 17% on it. You work that's probably about $1,700 or something like that, Dave, an extra. You know, so it works out a lot, doesn't it? So yeah, I'm one of those
does,
that
yeah.
I'd like not to have taxes, but at the same time, I know it helps the country. You know, it gives you puts money in the well, so that you can build roads, etc. You know what I mean, Dave?
Well, sure, Jeff, sure, but there's a right way and a wrong way again to do that, and the first thing that has to be addressed when it comes to taxes is how best to spend the money. In both of our countries, we see our money just being, you know, wasted away and being spent on garbage and things like importing these Mohammedans and people from other cultures that don't intend to assimilate to our cultures and things of that nature. Spending money on this global warming crap. Now, that, by the way, that's something I want to get into just for a second, Jeff. That's something I want to get into. I thought about this over the holidays, looking at some of the commercials and things on the panel. You know, and I can't say on the tube anymore because I've got one of those flat panel TVs, so it's not a tube anymore; it's a panel. But seeing those commercials, some of those commercials and PSAs and things for some of these organizations, it really struck me. All these people that want to dump all these huge sums of money into global warming, which is a big fat scam, man, and it's been debunked time and again. Okay, that even if we were to spend a tenth of that money on curing cancer once and for all, that I listeners out there and I know you, Jeff, and I know Vorpal Byte in the chat room. We've all had cancer touch our lives. Either we've had it ourselves or we know people who have had it. It's a horror, and it touches us all. And this is something that we as societies really need to attack. I mean, if you want to spend money on something substantive and you don't want to spend money on the space program, which I believe we should all spend money on space programs, then spend it curing cancer, not on some scam that's not going to do any good for anybody, and it's just going to line the pockets of university idiots. Am I right, Jeff?
No, you're right, Dave. I'm with you 100%, mate. I've always thought of it like that. I give money to a charity. It's a hospice, actually. I think it's £5 a month or something or other, and I'll get a chance to win in the lottery. I've won once, so I'm quite happy. It's my local hospice. So, you know, people go there and they're looked after. It's a cancer-fighting thing. So, of course, that's where, I put £5 a month goes towards. That's my charity that I... I think it's right. I mean, one day it might be me that's sitting in a hospice, and people like myself has put money that's helped me to live the rest of my days comfortable before, you know, I pass. And I think that's the way I want to give. That's the sort of places I want to give my money to. Keep it in this country and go to the right places, you know. That's me anyway, Dave. You know, I'm, you know. So that's my charity, Dave.
Yeah, Jeff, and that's beautiful, man. Yeah, I remember when you won that lotto too. But you know, that's the thing. Taxes spent on stupid things. I guarantee if we cleared all that out of the way, that's kind of like the undergrowth in these wooded areas around the world. If we cleared all that out of the way, you could actually lower taxes and still get everything done that you need to do. You know, but you've got so many people that are so greedy, that have their hand out, that want this tax money, and it doesn't do any good for anybody, their little causes like global warming and that crap. And yet, you know, you still have the taxes. Now, Jeff, another thing that Delling Poll says we can do without, I love this this bit that that he wrote here for this guy, is John Bercow. Okay. Now, for our American friends, that was the speaker of the speaker of the parliament. Okay. Now here's the scene. I'm going to read you this, Jeff. The scene: an English pub, Christmas 2020. A haggard, silver-haired man of dwarfish stature and cuckoldish disposition walks to the bar and taps a punter on the shoulder. That's the bartender, you know, for my American brothers and sisters. Okay. The dwarf says, "Shall I do it for you, mate? Go on, mate. Please let me do it. I'll do it for the price of a pint." And the punter says, faintly disgusted, by the way, "Do what?" The dwarf says, "My thing, you know," and winks meaningfully, all right? The punter says, "I really don't." The dwarf says, "Order! Go on, mate. I've done it now." "If you can't buy me a pint, if you can't buy me a pint, I'll settle for a hot."
"Order! Order!"
And the punter says, I'm so sorry. I've really no idea who you are or why you are saying order in that silly voice." And the narrator in a voiceover, Daniel, a place in the House of Lords, considered too toxic for even the most desperate Christmas panto, the former Speaker of the House of Commons, who only a year before had seemed to hold the fate of Britain in his chubby fingers, had fallen on desperate times. So there you go, Jeff. That's John Bercow.
It's good, Dave. It was good. Okay, I've been looking forward to it all night. Can we now do our
big
thing?
I know you
want
it.
With Ricky Gervail. It's, ladies and gentlemen, Dave's been hanging it out for me because he knew I can't wait to hear it. It really made me chuckle. I mean, I'll tell you what, on Fox and Friends, they were rolling up. Like, they've had so much fun with this week. So I think our listeners should hear of what we, I think it was probably the best thing. I know I was rolling up. In fact, I had tears running down my eyes. It was so funny, Dave. Go on, mate. Let's play it for our great listeners out there, our great patriots. And he's a lefty as well, ladies and gentlemen. Go on, Dave.
He is a lefty, and I for one didn't expect this to come from him. And this is one of the first news events.
Out of the blue, mate. Events. Out of the blue.
Yeah, this is one of the first news events that I actually saw when I began looking at news again and getting ready for everything. So, guys, we've been teasing you about this all night, so we're going to play it now. This is 5 minutes and 40 seconds long. This comes from the Golden Globe. This is the monologue from the Golden Globes Awards, which was held on the 5th of January. And check it out. This is the English Defense League radio show. Here we go. This is Ricky Gervais.
Hello and welcome to the 77th Annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais. Thank you. You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did. NBC clearly don't care either, fifth time. So, I mean, Kevin Hart was fired from the Oscars because of some offensive tweets. Hello? Lucky for me, the Hollywood Foreign Press can barely speak English, and they've no idea what Twitter is. So I got offered this gig by fax. So let's go out with a bang. Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes. We're all going to die soon, and there's no sequel. So, yeah, remember that. Look, talking of all you perverts, it was a big year. It was a big year for paedophile movies. Surviving R. Kelly, Leaving Neverland, Two Popes. Shut up. I don't care. Many talented people of colour were snubbed in major categories. Unfortunately, there's nothing we can do about that. The Hollywood Foreign Press are all very, very racist. So, fifth time. So, we were going to do an in memoriam this year, but when I saw the list of people that had died, it wasn't diverse enough. It was mostly white people. And I thought, nah, not on my watch. So, maybe next year. Let's see what happens. No one cares about movies anymore. No one goes to cinema. No one really watches network TV. Everyone's watching Netflix. This show should just be me coming out going, well done, Netflix, you win. Everything. Good night. But no, we've got to drag it out for 3 hours. You could binge watch the entire first season of Afterlife instead of watching this show. That's a show about a man who wants to kill himself because his wife dies of cancer, and it's still more fun than this, okay? Spoiler alert, season 2 is on the way, so in the end, he obviously didn't kill himself, just like Jeffrey Epstein. Shut up! I know he's your friend, but I don't care. You had to make your own way here in your own plane, didn't you? Right. But seriously, most films are awful, lazy, remakes, sequels. All the best actors have jumped to Netflix and HBO, you know. And the actors who just do Hollywood movies now do fantasy adventure nonsense. They wear masks and capes and really tight costumes. Their job isn't acting anymore. It's going to the gym twice a day and taking steroids, really. Have we got an award for most ripped junkie? No point. We know we'd win that. Martin Scorsese, the greatest living director, made the news for his controversial comments about the Marvel franchise. He said they're not real cinema and they remind him of theme parks. I agree. The Irishman was amazing. It was amazing. It was great. Long, but amazing. It wasn't the only epic movie. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, nearly 3 hours long. Leonardo DiCaprio attended the premiere, and by the end, his date was too old for him. So, even Prince Andrew's like, come on, Leo, mate, you know. You're nearly 50, son. The world got to see James Corden as a fat pussy. He was also in the movie Cats, but no one saw that. And the reviews, oh, shocking. I saw one that said, this is the worst thing to happen to cats since dogs, right? But Dame Judi Dench defended the film, saying it was the role she was born to play. I can't do this next joke. Because she loves nothing better than plonking herself down on the carpet, lifting her leg and licking her... verbal. She's old school. It's the last time, who cares? Oh. Apple roared into the TV game with a morning show, a superb drama, yeah. A superb drama about the importance of dignity and doing the right thing, made by a company that runs sweatshops in China. So, well, you say you're woke, but the companies you work for, I mean, unbelievable. Apple, Amazon, Disney. If ISIS started a streaming service, you'd call your agent, wouldn't you? So, if you do win an award tonight, don't use it as a platform to make a political speech, right? You're in no position to lecture the public about anything. You know nothing about the real world. Most of you spent less time in school than Greta Thunberg. So, if you win, right, come up, accept your little award, thank your agent and your God, and... So... It's already 3 hours long.
And there you go, guys. Welcome back.
Yes? Oh, man. Was that a classic of what day? I tell you, brilliant. David, some of them were in tears. They rerouted their night.
Oh, yeah,
brilliant,
man. Classic stuff. Yeah, classic stuff. I mean,
if we weren't alive during the year, Dave, we'll just put that on now and again. Shall we, Dave? We'll just put it on again.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'll go ahead and...
out there, isn't it? Especially for the lovies.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I mean, it's a lesson that needs to be kept. And yeah, I'll go ahead and leave that in the studio. Usually, when we do these news audios, we go ahead and you know, kind of clean them out at the end of the show because. My God, if we didn't, we would just have a list of audios as long as your arm. So you know, we just have to clean them out. And yeah, we'll leave that one in there, Jeff. Sure, yeah. I think you're right.
To play, well, you know, it's something to cheer us up in the year, isn't it? On a rainy day,
certainly.
We'll be doing one of the shows. It's raining out and. Not very nice, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure. I mean, we need that sort of thing once in a while because it does get kind of it does get kind of depressing once in a while. You know, we need things like this right here, Jeff. Like this right here.
And now a native New York impression and New York echo. Hello! Shut the fuck up! Thank you. A cheap shot. Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Robin Williams. So yes, we can keep things like that around. Yeah, that by the way, guys,
the
if you want to get...
That we like.
Yeah.
Me and Dave like these sort of things, don't we, mate? And so I hope your listeners enjoy it as well, because we... We like to have a bit of fun, don't we, Dave? You know, we talk about all serious stuff, but now and again, we just like to share with you, the great listeners out there, some of the things that we find funny.
Oh, certainly, yes. You know, it's all about, again, you know, we're involved in the struggle, and it's definitely serious business. But once in a while... You have to step back and have a laugh, because if you don't, then you'll just cry because of the seriousness of everything that's going on. And Jeff, I noticed the clock, and if you don't mind,
the show, as we all say, it goes so quick. We've got. I think we've done so much tonight as well, Dave, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
It's great to come back and hit the road running and share with our great listeners out there some of the things that's caught our interest and that everybody else out there. These are things that, you know, that's been going on, ladies and gentlemen, and we just we've been discussing these things. So, Dave. We are about 5.5 minutes or something. So what are you doing this week, Dave? Are your final thoughts for this evening? And where will you be this week, Dave?
All right. Well, obviously, they'll be right here on Sunday at the appointed time. But I just want to tell people, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy. I just want to tell people, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. And of course, you have my show times from earlier in the show. So please check that page out. And you know, there will be a special on tonight on at BZ's Berserk Bobcat Saloon, which will be on SHR Media, so please go there. That'll be 11 p.m. Eastern in the United States. That's 4 a.m. for you early risers in the UK. And he will be talking to another host about the fires in Australia. They'll cover that a little bit more. If you're interested in that, please check that out. And please join us on Sunday, because we'll have another good show. We're already gathering material for that, Jeff. And it's good to be back with you. Vorp, hope you had a happy New Year, and thank you for coming in. And the listeners out there, I missed you guys, and hope you all had blessed holidays as well. And I just want to say to the foot soldiers, angels, and all of the patriots out there from the English Defense League and around the world. Be prosperous, be blessed, and no surrender. Back to you, Jeff.
Yeah, and a Brexit New Year to you one and all. That's something how we'll end when we do our shows for the future day. A Brexit New Year to all of our great patriots out there. But Dave, once again, I've got to thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I've had a few issues with my hands. I've got a few problems with my fingers, and the other day me and Dave was talking about this show, this tonight show, and unfortunately for me I had a poisoned finger, and so I asked Dave, could you do me a favour, mate, and put the show together, and look what a great job he done this evening. Look at those great slides, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, once again I salute you and thank you so much for all what you do for the English Defence League radio show. We're on a rocket ship now. You know, it's the Starship EDL now, isn't it, Dave? You know, we're hovering around in outer space there, guys. anyway, Dave, thank you so much, mate. And Vorpalbite as well, thanks for joining us this evening. Good to see you there, buddy. We'll be back again this Sunday, only a few days time, so we'll see you back this Sunday. So for myself and Dave, and of course my executive producer Charlie the Parrot, we'll be back Sunday, so no surrender. So with that, we're going underground. Yeah, see, Charlie loves you all, she's blowing your kisses. There you go, here we go, we're going underground.
People might say that I should strive for more, but I'm so happy I can't see the fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your five brigades, and I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, it costs a lot of mine. My New Zealand pence was for Tommy's friends, and the public gets what the public wants. Pleasure as I hate me, I've been enough already on my fate. People might need some tension to relax me, I'm too busy dodging between the facts. To be here for what you get, you made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader to place your trust, and the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns, and the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up. Shout.
go. Just run over a little bit tonight, but once again, we'll be back again this Sunday with another episode of the English Defence League radio show. So we go, just bear with me. There you go. So for myself and, of course, Dave, and we'll be associated with the English Defence League radio show and the great organisation of ours, we'll see you again this Sunday. So, right, this is the English Defence League radio show, signing off for tonight. But don't forget, come back and see us again this Sunday. No surrender ever. Good night and God bless.